what's your definition of a real healthy love?
How does somebody know when it's time to leave a relationship?
I'm just curious about your parents' relationship growing up.
What mental health practices did you use or were useful for you in that time?
Appreciate you coming here, man. You're already sweating, huh? I'm freaking drenched, man.
I'm a sweater.
My dad has this thing, hyperhidrosis, where he sweats a lot. And apparently, I've picked it up.
Is that a bad thing?
I don't know.
Isn't like sweating good?
It is, but too much might not be good.
Okay.
It might dehydrate me fast.
There's that.
So if I pass out, man, you know what happened. Well, I want to ask you, man. First, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
What are you excited about these days?
What am I excited about these days? Ooh. That's a tough question. I mean, I'm excited about just all the things I'm currently doing. I mean, I'm busy with work and I'm passionate. I'm lucky to do what I love. Mm. I'm just excited to just keep investing in the people I love. Mm. I have yet to become a father, and of all the things that I consider myself to be a really lucky person, very blessed, very privileged person. Mm. I've had extreme highs and I've had extreme lows, I'm grateful for everything I've accomplished. But the one thing I've always wanted and the one constant is being a father, and that's it's something that's yet to happen or manifest for me. So I do look forward to that. But other than that, just to continue to invest in the people I love.
Beautiful. People. It comes down to people, right? Like, there was a Harvard study that came out recently and another one they did where they tracked the lives of, I think, people from, like, from babies to, like, their late 80s. And they found the number one variable that contributes to happiness and well-being was not how much money you made or accolades or fame. It was relationships.
Yeah.
Loving relationships.
Yeah, it's tough because, it's one of those things where I think that's very true. And I think it's also something that people struggle with the most. Mm. Also, I mean, it's usually the people who you love the most, the people who hurt you the most too, you know? And so that's, the forever life challenge that helps you kind of try to frame all those instances of is this a challenge I should accept or take on, or is this a sign of letting things go or things like that. But it's the people in your life that really, I think, definitely impact you the most. Mm. And they put things in perspective and they make you appreciate the good and the bad. And when you have good, those are the people you want to share things with. Mm. And then when you have bad moments, they're the people who usually help you get through it. And if they're the ones who are causing it, then, you know, that's a challenge. But that's truly what life is all about, because sharing your experience, like, what's the point if you have nothing to share it with, nor no one to share it with?
That's it. It's the ultimate teacher, man. I always say, you know, you don't have to climb like the Himalayan mountains and live in a cave to be enlightened. Like, you can do that with the tests in your relationships. There was this guy, Ram Dass. So he's got an interesting story. He was a Harvard professor turned guru. Went to India, turned into a guru. Yeah, I think you'd love his work. I can just tell by your energy. He said, if you think you're enlightened, go spend a weekend with your relatives, because they will show you what you need to learn. They'll teach you. And I think relationships, like you said, they can be the most rewarding, beautiful, and also, you know, pretty tough.
They'll challenge you the most, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I was thinking about that too. Just like, questions I like to ask my audience too. It's like, we've recently dived into parent-kid dynamics, especially in adulthood. And we'll get a lot of people calling in and having questions about situations, that they have with their parents. And it's a question I want to start asking my audience, which is first, you know, to ask them what their relationship is with their parents. Man. And then ask them which of their parents which qualities they have from their parents.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just one of those things. I think our relationship with our parents is complicated because we see them first as heroes and gods and things like that. And then we realize that they're just people.
Yeah. Big kids sometimes.
And it's a crazy thing. As you get older, you realize so much of the power of DNA, you know, like you were talking about your dad and sweating and things like that. And so we realize, you know, even when we have complicated relationships with our parents, like we really are made from them, you know, or it's like when you see people, I have found that the people I'm most judgmental in life are the people who remind me of myself and things like that, you know? So I think we're always kind of projecting and we're always kind of trying to find ways to look at ourselves.
100%.
Yeah. So,
yeah. It's a mirror. That's all it is. That's all it is. You know, I said there's only one earth, but there's billions of worlds and we all live in our own world.
Yeah. Everyone's the hero in their own story. Yeah.
You bring up parents, and that, funny enough, that's one question I wanted to ask you was, you've built this this career, you know, in the public and the relationship and dating space. And I'm just curious about your parents' relationship growing up. How was that? And how do you think that's affected you?
It's I think it's affected me immensely. I'm very lucky. We live in a world where people obviously are privileged, types of various types of privilege are discussed, and rightfully so. And so it makes you just take stock in the types of opportunities you've been given and blessings that you have in your life. And my relationship with my parents and subsequent, you know, their relationship with each other is something I'm very grateful for. They certainly taught me the value of teamwork and trust and honesty and togetherness and approaching a relationship as a whole and not necessarily to individuals. In some level, maybe they set some unreal expectations that I've always been trying to meet. I consider myself very lucky. And yeah, they've definitely kept me grounded and gave me great perspective. They're a team, you know? And I think nowadays in relationships, I think we just don't approach relationships as a team. It's almost two individuals trying to get the most from that relationship to serve themselves. But yeah,
that's a big moment right there. Wow. And, I got to let that sink in. Approaching relationships like a team, realizing you're on the same team. If we could have the mindfulness to understand that during every argument,
every interaction, every argument, every decision. If the relationship loses, you lose, you know? And you don't find those types of relationships as much these days, you know? Culturally, things have changed, you know? Yep. You know, divorce is more socially accepted. And like, listen, and rightfully so, it's, you know, it's just like, I'm glad people have the ability now in relationships to stand up for themselves and realize that they're not being respected or treated right. But at the same time, you know, it'd be nice if we can get to a place where people really want to be in a relationship and do whatever they can to make that relationship grow.
Work, yeah. Boom. Beautiful. There's so many definitions of the word love. I think love is probably the most beautiful concept and energy and thing we have on this planet. But I want to ask you, what's your definition of a real healthy love?
Sure, yeah. Well, I can tell you what it's not. I'll start there. Yeah, it's not being obsessed with or jealous or afraid to lose or anything like that. Wow. You know, those kind of things often like we sometimes look for, you know, I want to feel obsessed or, you know, I want to get triggered when they talk to someone because that somehow is a sign that I care about them or things like that. But I think it's, again, it's selflessness, you know, your desire to believe in, the relationship or a person as much as you want to believe in yourself and that, you know, trust and honesty and mutual respect and growing that kind of emotional connection to the point where, again, if you're thinking as a unit, if they hurt, you hurt, you know, if they're happy, you're happy. And being connected, I think, the more you feel connected, and the more ways you're connected, again, like, you know, sex and physical elements of relationships are easy certainly to feel connected. And I think sometimes nowadays and in the culture that we have, that's an easy kind of a scapegoat or an easy route to try to feel to get connected to somebody. And I think sometimes we miss out on opportunities to feel connected in other ways because that often requires vulnerability and it requires you to open up and to be accepted for your weaknesses or your shortcomings. And that can be a scary thing to expose yourself to someone that you simply just hope accepts who you are. And so, yeah.
You mentioned that in your book, the difference between having a connection and connecting, right? Like that's a big thing that I think we confuse a lot, especially with the physical aspect. How do you know when you've truly found that person that you want to, you know, take things to the next step with, right? Whether that's...
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to like, how do you really know? I mean, I think it's a process, but I think, Yeah, that's a tough one. How do you really know? Because I've been someone who's fallen fast, you know, certainly if you're on The Bachelor, it's a product of that environment. And how do you delineate what a feeling is? Because like on The Bachelor, I felt real feelings, you know, but they were more manufactured by the environment or the situation. Does it make it less authentic? You know, I don't know. But it's a complicated thing. And so...
Well, can you know? Or is it just more so you got
to
take...
Listen, I think... Here's the thing. I think more than anything, I think you just have to choose your partner every day. Because you never really... You know, people... That's one of the, you know, I think that's why I have a hard time answering that question. Because like when you ask that question, there's like an implication of like, you just want to get to that place where you know. And then once you know, then you can just like...
This is it.
You can stop worrying about it. You know, you can stop wondering. Yeah. But like you can know one day and the next, you know, most of our feelings are temporary. You know, feelings come and go, you know. And so you could have a long-term feeling of I love you or I love this person. I care about this person. I need this person. But feelings of self-doubt or feelings of neediness or selfishness can seep in. Or maybe there's an attractive, maybe there's a feelings of attractiveness to someone else or, you know, and things like that. And so... I think it's maybe love is, you know, true love or having a love like worth fighting for in a relationship is the type of love where you're able to work through those kind of temporary feelings that come and go in relationships.
Yes,
but I really do. You have to choose every day and through the good and the bad. And you just have to decide, and every day you wake up, do I want to make this relationship and this person a priority or do I not? And I think most people will take that for granted. Wow. You know, they decide that they're with someone and they'll just be with someone. And that's when they get to those moments of failing to prioritize the relationship or their partner or even themselves, you know, because they're more inclined to respond to a temporary feeling that they're not necessarily kind of emotionally regulated enough to process, you know?
Okay.
So,
first of all, you're totally on point. You made me stop in my tracks because when I asked the question, how do you know? And you basically kind of deconstructed that. Like every day you have to choose it. And that may change, you know, because feelings change. Feelings are temporary. You sound like a guru over here in this song. By the way, how you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good. Yeah, feeling I like good. A good sweat. Yeah. I feel like I'm cleansing.
Yeah, me too. When you know something, that something has to be dead. And let me explain that. You can't know anything that's living because living things are always changing.
Sure, yeah.
And evolving.
Yeah.
So that's why I tend to say, yeah, I might kind of know when I'm using air quotes, like the partner, what they like, what they, but you have to be open for them to evolve and change into a new version of themselves tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I've ever learned in my life is that just the only constant is change and things change. And I am someone who has a hard time appreciating things. And I am someone who has a hard time being present, which is sad because I do think I do recognize the importance of appreciating the moments that are good. Because I think life is a struggle, you know? It's weird because as scary as sometimes these times seem, I think we live in a time where the individual person has never been more lucky or blessed or privileged to, you know, sit around and play video games or, you know, go to the grocery store or just like not have to fight for their life, you know? And I think we can get very comfortable in our lives. And so when pain happens or our struggles happen, we have a hard time processing those things. But I know this, when I die, whenever that is, and if my life flashes before my eyes, I'm certain I will think of the good and the bad, and not think of the bad as in a negative way, but every painful experience that I have experienced definitely evolved into something positive. And if nothing else, just the recognition that I lived through it. Or I survived it. And I usually look back and kind of chuckle because I can visualize myself at my lowest. And it just puts things into perspective, you know? And I think sometimes I will remember it because, you know, it's weird. Sometimes you feel the most alive when you're suffering through something.
That's true.
You certainly feel if there is a high. Wow. Not necessarily a good high, but like, you know, you're going to remember that more than you will sitting in traffic or on your phone, you know, and things like that. So those would be the memories that stick with you. So that's, I only tell myself that because when I am going through whatever struggle I have, I try to remember that I've worked through past pains and I've been grateful for those. And so
you got the proof, you got the evidence.
It'll be a last, you know, when I die, I'm confident that I will, it'll be a collage of a lot of intense memories, but there'll be plenty of heartbreak and sadness along the way.
Wow. Well, you know, the hero can't start at the top. You know, the only way you can start at the top is if you're digging a hole. So we got to start at the bottom. We got to have the roller coaster.
Yeah.
This is a movie. That's how I see life. It's we couldn't have wrote
it. It really is. It really is a movie. I mean, I think sometimes we could do a better job of realizing we're not the main character in other people's movie, but... But at the same time, it is our life is our movie. You know, our life is, regardless of what's after, we're trying to just have the most exciting story possible, I suppose.
Wow. Somebody said we're the writer, director, producer, and the cast of our own movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny when you think of it in those terms, the role people play, for sure.
Man. Yeah. You mentioned The Bachelor, and I want to ask you before we burn up in here, because I'm sweating the storm. What were some of your biggest lessons that you took from that experience?
I think the biggest lesson is feeling in love doesn't necessarily mean you are in love.
Feeling in love doesn't mean you are in love. Okay, so love is not a feeling.
Not just think of it that way. It's more than just a feeling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you are, because I think love can be easily confused with other feelings. I think we often attribute love with intensity. You know, we're always told how special and how crazy it is. And so when we start feeling these intense feelings for someone, it must be love. But I think as we get older, we realize it can be a variety of different things. And, you know, for me, I think love just kind of requires a lot of time and nurturing and groundwork and your willingness to work through things and build a foundation and to really understand someone. So it taught me to be more patient with my love life. And also, you know, it certainly taught me that you can, you know, be mindful of the environments that you're in, you know, or be mindful of the people that are around you, because they very much can influence how you feel about things. And it's easy to be manipulated in a way, you know, like the world can manipulate us.
Yeah.
You know, like the bachelor environment, like, you know, people say things about producers and this and that. And it's not just one thing, you know, that kind of creates an environment that makes us feel certain things. And so, you know, the people we surround ourselves with, the jobs we choose to take, you know, the kind of just the energy we bring around us can dictate how we feel about things. And I think it's, you know, especially as I get older, like surrounding yourselves with the people that elevate you and the people that can challenge you or the people that hold you accountable. Most of the world's not on your side. And so it's up for you to protect yourself and choose people wisely, because your surroundings really will dictate how you feel about people and situations. And that the scary part about all that is that you won't know when you're in it, you know, that that's the reason you feel the way you do. Because it will all feel very real. And it will be real, because feelings, you know, are real. They can be manufactured in a variety of different ways.
Beautiful. Well said. Yeah, it's tough. You know, you mentioned life is hard. Life is suffering. That's what the Buddha said. Life is suffering. The reason for our suffering is our attachments, mostly to outcomes.
Yeah.
I think what you just said about environment is crucial. It's the most important thing, who you surround yourself with, because energy is just like, you know, people think energy is some metaphysical out there idea, but energy is real. You know, just like if I yawn, you might yawn.
Sure.
You know, it's contagious. Energy is contagious, just like that. If you're happy, that vibration is going to come to me. And if I'm sad, that's going to go to you. I mean, this is proven in science. So who you surround yourself with is key if you want to live a happy, positive life. And so do you have an auditing process? Like, do you go through like, okay, is this person an asset or a liability?
I probably could do a better job, to be honest. You know, I think, because it's complicated too, right? Like, you also want to be someone who can, you know, pay things forward, you know, and give people opportunities. You want to believe that people can elevate themselves and not everyone is as privileged as you might be or have the parenting or the community that maybe you grew up with. And so you want to give people an opportunity to challenge and learn. I think you just have to be, you got to check in with yourself and you got to check in, you know, is this, why is this person in my life? Are they adding value? And maybe you're there to help them, but is it, are you helping them for yourself? Or are you helping them for them? Wow. You know, are you just being, trying to be the fixer because it makes you feel good or validates you? So yeah, I mean, it's a process. Like I think like whether it's finding love or choosing your circle, I don't, it's an imperfect science. And I think we get it wrong more than we get it right. Yeah. I think we just have to be willing to check in with ourselves, be willing to acknowledge if we made a mistake and adjust and just try to work with what we have. And and if you're going to take a risk, be mindful that you're taking a risk. You know, I think it's great to take risks. 100%. And I think it's great to move to Portugal and get a farm, you know. Just like, but you have to, I think it's just also important to recognize that it is a risk, that you're putting yourself out there. And and because you don't want to think that, because if you're going to take a risk, you have to adjust. You know, you might have to choke up on the bat, so to speak, you know. You might have to do things a little bit differently because your approach is different and the outcome you want is different. And so, yeah, I think you just got to check in with yourself as much as possible and ask yourself the tough questions. That, I think that's the hard part that people have. I think it's easy, especially when things seemingly are going right, to not check in, to just be like, I don't want to...
Well, that's what they say. The best time to go to therapy is when everything is perfect.
It's good, So, yeah, it's an ongoing battle for me to constantly check in and audit my circle and evaluate when things happen. But we never really deserve a second chance. And certainly there's third chances. No one deserves.
Fool me once.
Yeah. But if you are willing to give yourself or someone else a second chance, you just really have to be aware of the risks and go from there. And, you know, just, you just got to keep, you know, and that's why I kind of say it's just like, there's no perfect answer and there's no final destination because like you can't get discouraged no matter how many times you get it wrong. Because like I said, you know, there's lessons in every in disappointing situation. And, we do get attached to our outcomes. And I think that's where we struggle because we always think, oh, I just want a boyfriend. I'm done. I just want to get married. I'm done. I just want to have a kid. I'm done. I just want to find my dream job. I just want to find, you know, and then once you do it, then you're just like, what's the next outcome I'm searching for rather than just, So I don't know.
Being here now, man, when I moved to Portugal, it was to kind of decide what the next step in life was. And I think it's important if anybody is really serious about life and living, not on the terms of society, not on the terms of what your parents told you you should do or even what your ego thinks you should do, but really on living life on your own terms, then you have to question everything. Some people say, you know, there's a difference between a good idea and a God idea. A good idea might be like, okay, you're doing great things in the world, but the God idea is, are you doing that thing that you were meant to do? And it's so important, like you said, to ask the tough questions because the quality of your life is based on the quality of your questions. And so when I went to Portugal, I asked myself the question, okay, what's my next move? You know, what am I doing here? And I realized really there is no ultimate purpose. There's just this moment, just doing our best here and now.
Yeah.
That's it.
Tough to do.
That's it.
Tough to do. I struggle with it, but it is true.
Yeah, man.
It is true because you never really know. You never really know if there's a tomorrow.
All right. Well, hopefully there's a tomorrow. Let's get out of this sauna. Yeah. Let's not die in here. Let's have a hydration session. Get some coconut water, some water. How's that sound?
Sounds good, man. Appreciate your time.
Let's do it. So in your book, you mentioned something cool that is the difference between pet peeves and non-negotiables.
Sure, yeah.
I'd love for you to expound on that.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely wasn't a concept I came up with, but I think it helps frame, I guess, our pickers, so to speak, when we're kind of picking our partners. I think we often get confused. You know, we always talk about lists. You know, I want this in a person, I want that. We don't really think about what's really important. What are the things that we can't do without? What are the things that we can do without? You know, minor annoyances, you know. And so non-negotiables would be those things that are, you know, paramount to like who you are, you know, might be just how you want to be treated. I want someone who's honest with me. I want someone who, you know, isn't violent with me, you know, could be something like that. It might be, I want someone who shares the same religion as me because, well, religion is a foundation of who I am. It might be something where like, you love your community. And so you want to, you know, a non-negotiable could be like someone who lives in your area because you know, your community is a big part of who you are and giving that up would fundamentally change your world. You know, other people, that's not as important. But pet peeves would be, you know, maybe your partner's messy or they don't enjoy watching the game as much as you do, or you have a slight different taste in TV show preferences, or you find them to be a little obnoxious at times or things like that. Those are pet peeves. And so I think we often confuse those early in dating because, you know, we like the people we're dating. We want them to impress people. We want people to like them. We don't like to be annoyed with people. So we'll sometimes treat pet peeves like non-negotiables, and sometimes we'll treat non-negotiables like pet peeves. You know, like we'll make excuses for the people we date who don't make us a priority, or who are quick to raise their voice in anger or treat us with disrespect. But we'll keep hanging around them because we, you know, they make us laugh, or they think they're cool, you know, like, or they, we like their circles, their friends or whatever. And so, yeah, it's so just, it's helping us kind of frame what's important to us versus what ultimately isn't.
That's so powerful.
Yeah.
Like I'd never heard it until I read that part. And to get clear on that is so important.
Yeah.
So important.
Yeah. It's easy to get that part wrong. Yeah. And you're right. It's something that's so real. It seems simple. It seems obvious, but we often don't consider it.
You think people should write this down so that they can...
I think so. Yeah. Whatever. You know, people learn differently. So write it down or just think about it. Talk about it with a friend. I think another thing people don't spend a lot of time discussing is how does that person make you feel? You know, and I don't mean like, oh, you meet them and you go on a date and you're just like, oh, I feel like, God, it's so exciting. You know, like, but how do their actions in the relationship make you feel? Do you feel safe, secure, you know, or do you feel confused or anxious and things like that, you know? And we all often put up with a lot of the latter for the wrong reasons. We become obsessed with certain things about them that we don't want to let go, or we just, you know, don't want to be alone or things like that.
Well, you also say that in your life, nobody will lie to you as much as you lie to yourself.
Yeah.
I love that. Go into that one.
Well, I mean, we're always in our heads, right? So I don't know about you, but I'm talking to myself when I talk to anyone else. So there's that. So the opportunity to lie to yourself is greater in general. But we have egos, right? We have, you know, desires and wants, and it's just easy to look the other way. And it's easy to convince ourselves that we're happy with the situation here or not, or that we really want this, but we don't want that. It's just very easy to say things like, well, kind of, or maybe, you know, and those are, I'd say those are the lies we tell ourselves because we kind of, we will project or things like that. And so it's very hard to hold ourselves accountable and ask ourselves the tough questions. Am I doing this because it's what's best for me? Or am I doing this because I'm afraid of what the asking myself the tough questions will be? Am I afraid of starting over? Am I afraid of being wrong? Am I afraid of how I might look or things like that? So there's a lot of opportunities to lie to yourself.
How does somebody know, because we lie to ourselves sometimes about our partners. How does somebody know when it's time to leave a relationship?
It's a tough one. Well, I think you have to kind of search your heart, so to speak, and ask yourself, how does that person make you feel? You know, again, I think a lot of times in relationships, we'll fall in love, we'll define the relationship, we'll talk about our future. And then it's very quick to settle into some sort of routine and kind of, again, not check in with how are we feeling in a relationship. Because lots of times we'll stay in a relationship and we're constantly anxious or confused or sad or unhappy and things like that. And we're not even thinking about that. We're just more like, well, but I love them. You know, I want to be with them. We've been together for so long or things like that. So that can be hard. And so first is like just kind of take stock in your feelings about, you know, and if it's determined that ultimately you're not feeling how you want to feel in a relationship, ultimately happy, satisfied, you know, content and those things like that, or maybe they did something to hurt you, ask yourself, how are things going to change? And most of the time in relationships, if you haven't been working on things, or maybe you have been working on things and something happened, you might have to get help outside of the relationship. Therapy, you know, would obviously be the obvious case. And so if you are at your point where you've tried everything that you think you have done or that you can do, at least, you know, all the tools that you've learned in life, you try to apply to your relationship and it's got you nowhere, you guys have to be willing to get help, you know? And if you are, and or your partner's not willing to get help, then how are things going to change? Yeah. So you've taken stock in your relationship. You realize the feelings this relationship makes you feel are not what you want. Okay, well, you can fix things, but how are we going to fix things? Are we doing anything about it? Are we talking? Are we being honest with each other about how we're feeling about this? Are we at least on the same page that we're not happy or not as happy as we want to be? Okay, are we both willing to do the work? You know, okay, so if you can say yes to some of those things, then you have to decide for yourself whether you're willing to take that risk and keep fighting for the relationship. But you just have to remember, you can only do 100% of your half. You can't fight for someone else. You can't want them to want to be with you. You can't want for them to change. You can't want for them to do the work.
Have you experienced that where you've wanted somebody to change or do the work? Or?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Especially in my younger relationships. You know, and now it's just like, yeah, it's tough. Because when you love someone, I think you want to believe in them and you want to give them a chance. You have to give them enough a chance to want to help themselves and see where it goes. Mm. And, you know, so I've always been the type of person who's waited too long rather than cut the cord, which I'm fine with because I'd rather not have regrets. Yeah. But I think as I've gotten older, I've gotten better at least asking myself the tough questions like, am I doing the work? Are we doing the work? Is she doing the work? Or am I just hoping things get better? Because hope is not a good thing to have in relationships.
Wow. Okay.
You know?
Okay. I like that
It's
one.
A good thing to have for the things that you want in life, and it's good to have dreams and it's good to have goals, but
it's unfair to hope for your person to be other than they are.
Yeah. So they either have to get to work or accept that maybe that's not in their nature and say goodbye. But if sitting around and hoping things change is not necessarily a recipe for success, because even with therapy and even with you guys doing the work, there's still no guarantee it's going to change the way you want. But if you're not doing the work, if you're not, you know, willing to do the thing, then there's just no chance.
Yeah.
And too many people sit around doing nothing, being sad and unhappy and simply hoping things change. Wow. They're just wasting their time.
Somebody said positive thinking doesn't always work, but negative thinking always does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. It's so interesting. You know, you kept using the word we. And I love that because it echoes what you said in the sauna, which is you have to realize you're a team. And, you know, sometimes players get traded. You got to, one of them leaves the team and that's that. But I agree with you. You do have to, or you'd like to exhaust every option before you have to go.
Yeah. Because then at least you can look back on a relationship and know that you put in the work and you can apply it into the future. But you just have to take stock of your feelings. I think more than anything, if I could give a short answer, is really think about how that relationship with that person makes you feel. And think about if you're not happy, what would need to change in order to feel the way you deserve to feel? Which, like, what's the point of being in a relationship if it doesn't ultimately bring you happiness? I mean, with every relationship, there's ups and downs. And sometimes there's some low lows and some high highs. But if you look back in the past year, you've just been unhappy.
Yeah.
Then you have to be willing to, like, make some changes.
And
either those changes are in the relationship or maybe you just need to leave the relationship.
Yeah. Wow. Well, let's talk about leaving relationships. Maybe somebody out there listening is thinking about, or maybe they just went through a breakup. What's the best way that you found to handle that?
Yeah, it's a process. I mean, first, I think it's okay to be sad. I think it's important to allow yourself to feel. Whether you left a relationship or someone left you, it's heartbreaking. Just giving yourself the grace and the space to feel whatever it is you feel, whether it's sad or depressed or lonely, but it doesn't define who you are. It's a feeling that's going to pass over time. Yeah. You know, sometimes you have to kind of get granular a little bit and have to remember certain things, like missing them doesn't make them special.
Oh, hold on. Missing them doesn't make them special. Okay.
You know, if you leave a relationship, good or bad, you're going to miss the routine.
Yeah.
You're going to miss the comfort. Okay. You're going to miss the consistency.
Okay.
And when you start missing them, and you'll start easily forgetting the things that, you know, you didn't like or you put up with. And then missing them will overtake, you know, certain things.
Blind you.
And then that missing them will almost make you feel like, well, if I miss them, then there must be a reason why. You know, it must be special. I must have made a mistake, or shoot, you know, if they broke up with you, it's just like, well, how am I ever going to replicate this feeling? I miss them. There's, you know, and missing someone is a natural feeling, especially if you've been with someone for a long time. Again, you might miss the relationship more than them, or you might miss that feeling or that comfort more than them, but doesn't mean they were special.
Wow.
So it's just remembering little things like that, investing yourself more than anything.
What is that? What do you mean investing yourself?
When you're sad, like relationships take a lot of work. You know, it takes a lot of your time and energy to invest in that relationship. And now you have more free time. And so as great as relationships are, they do take away from other aspects of your life. They might take away from your career. They might take away from friendships. And in a lot of ways, that's okay. Because ultimately, if it's the right relationship, it's worth it.
Yeah.
But if it's a relationship that didn't work out, it's an opportunity to maybe connect with friends or meet new friends or cultivate a new circle of influence that might elevate you better, or reconnect with family. Maybe it's an opportunity to reevaluate your career, or your job, or your hobbies, you know, to get to know more people and just invest in you, you know, things that you've been kind of putting to the side, because that will open up new doors and windows. It'll introduce you to new people and experiences. And, you know, we don't know what we don't know. And until we sometimes open up our eyes to certain aspects of lives, that can really help us move on. We have this tendency when we leave relationships to like just want to keep that life that we had and replace them with someone else. And usually it's a sign that we might have to just, we might have to adjust other aspects of our lives and not just the people in it.
I want to switch gears a little bit. I know you're a mental health advocate, and I wanted to ask you your thoughts on, you know, being in the public eye, being on a national television show, and what mental health practices did you use or were useful for you in that time? Or maybe their self-care practices.
Yeah, I mean, during that time, I probably didn't do as much as I should. It was a lot of in my head or talking to friends. I mean, I've been fortunate enough that I've always had good people around me, and I felt safe enough to express myself. And I'm thankful again for the parents I had to make me feel okay to express my vulnerability, you know, to anyone, especially as a man. But, you know, therapy is something I've been in for 3 years now. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough that I can afford regular therapy. And even when the times are good, I'll do it every other week just as maintenance.
Yep.
I think therapy is much more efficient when it's used as like a bicycle helmet or a safety belt rather than reconstructive surgery. But if you require reconstructive surgery, it can be helpful. Just takes a little longer and a little more expensive and a little bit more intense.
What kind of therapy is it? Talk therapy? Is it like CBT? Because you mentioned, like, I'm listening to you and I'm saying, this guy, he sounds like a therapist. I mean, the things that you say, the emotional reasoning, which is part of what I've studied, which is cognitive behavioral therapy. People think just because they feel something, it must be true, which is a cognitive distortion that so many of us face. But you said that, and I don't know if this is a field that you're even aware or interested in, or if it's just something you picked up.
At the beginning of this year, I was talking to my therapist about, I think I want to go back and go back to school and actually study this stuff. It was like maybe it's my final chapter in my career. But I've always been fascinated with kind of social dynamics, and it, you know, I've had a lot of heartbreak in my 20s, and it was just self-preservation for me to try to reframe how I saw things, because I often felt stuck in my emotions and my feelings. And without therapy, I was able to, whether it's a few books I read or just a lot of self-reflection, a lot of thinking, and then going on The Bachelor really, really challenged me in a lot of ways that made me think even more, you know? And so I've always just kind of had a knack for it and then a passion for it. And so it's just things that are in my head. But so I'm fortunate enough to, you know, and I learned through my show and people having, you know, getting to meet people like you, and I've had other experts and therapists on my show. And yeah, it is something that I want to go back to school for and actually keep on developing these skills. And
you'd be great at it.
Yeah.
You're so, you're such a good connector. I feel like you're so relatable, and that's key, right? That being able to relate to someone's energy, and you've been through it, you've transcended it, so you can speak to something that other, you know, therapists might only speak from, you know, from a academic standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I just think, for me, you know, I think a lot of people, I don't know, there's actually this new show out right now on Apple TV mm-hmm. with Jason Segel and Harrison Ford. It's like about therapy. Hmm. And there was this montage in episode one about like, everyone just feels stuck. I mean, I would be willing to bet if like why people eventually go to therapy is because on some level, they all feel stuck.
Yeah.
They can't get out of their own way or their own thoughts. Mm-hmm. They're just, for me, when I feel anxiety, I feel stuck. Yeah. You know, how do I release this? What do I do with these feelings? And how do I stop ruminating about the same thing over and over? How do I let a feeling pass and things like that? And so it's been a challenging thing for me to overcome, but you know, through a lot of work, I've been able to find ways to get myself unstuck.
What are some of those practices that you do?
Therapy being a big one. Yeah. I just try to change my perspective.
Yeah.
I try to put myself in other people's shoes.
Yep.
I try to, again, remember that I could be the villain in someone else's story. Mm. Wow. That's really helpful. You know, like to just to consider how could someone else be approaching this situation? Mm. And because like most of the time when we're hurting with someone or someone's hurt us, it's so easy to be like, I don't, like why? You know, we ask ourselves those why questions. Mm. And I try to be mindful of my ego. And I try to be mindful of the role that's playing.
Yeah.
You know, ego doesn't want you to be happy. Mm. It just wants you to feel validated. Mm. It has an unquenchable thirst. It doesn't really care about your well-being.
It's never enough.
Yeah. Huh. And so I try to be mindful of that. Huh. And I think, you know, those little exercises help just me calm down and let me know that, you know, it's going to, this too shall pass and things like that. And just kind of being aware of the things I've learned in the past, you know, it's, first time you experience something, it's hard because you have no real reason to believe that's gonna you'll get over it.
Mm.
Other than maybe some old person be like, "Hey, you'll get over it." And you're like, "I don't know if I will." Mm. And then you do, and then that becomes a little easier. But yeah, it's nice to be able to let people know or help people change their perspective a little bit. Just can help them consider an alternative to the situation. They might see it one way, and you're just like, "Hey, listen, maybe you're right, but like, what about this or what about that?" And I have found that especially when we are reacting to an intense emotion, our perspective is usually not necessarily on point.
Yeah.
We might have to alter a little bit to kind of see the forest for the trees.
Mm. That's it. You know, I love the word empathy. They say empathy, if you look at the etymology of it, it means literally to see through the eye of the other. And that's what you have to do, right? You got to, you know, put the shoe on the other foot and see from someone else's perspective, kind of get out of your own head, because we all have filters, we all have biases. But I think understanding that, hey, I might not be right on this is so important. Every feeling, the parent of every feeling is a thought, a perception. So like you said, when you change your perception, you change your feelings and you change your life.
Yeah, that's been kind of the key to my life.
Yeah, you know? that's it.
And anytime I can help someone just at least consider another perspective or, you know, being right, I find, doesn't really make you happy, you know, or feeling right. I haven't really ever gotten happiness from it. My ego gets a little thrill, but other than that, I don't really get fulfillment from it.
Better to be kind than right sometimes. Yeah. That's awesome. On the wellness front, you do some things in the essential oil space?
Yeah, I have an essential oil company. My sister's a holistic nutritionist. She got me into it. I think for someone who struggled with anxiety, it was really just more as someone who has a hard time being present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, smells and things like that can help ground you. 100%. And that's kind of how I got into essential oils. There's, you know, different practices for it. You know, maybe it's just like scenting your home and things like that. That's a little less toxic than candles and the, you know, the things that you're burning into the air. Mm. But for me, it was more just kind of aromatherapy and the ability to kind of, you know, take in, think about what you're smelling. Mm. Again, like, you know, any exercise that helps me stay present is something that's been really helpful for me.
Mm. You know? So you got like the lavender. And
with Natural Hats, we do specialize into various blends. We try to blend them and things like that. But that's lavender is a big one. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's, you know, people don't, I say use all the tools that we have, you know.
Yeah, whatever works for you, man. You know, like, you know, and try different things. A placebo effect is real, man. Like, you know.
What a placebo is, it just means that your mind is controlling your reality. That's all a placebo is.
Yeah.
It's you.
Yeah. So, and again, it helps you maybe get a little less unstuck, you know. So,
100%. 100%. All right, Nick, I got a game I want to play with you. I call this game The Best.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you a series of questions. And it might not be the best, you know, but, you know, it might be a really good.
Really good. Okay.
For you. Okay. Okay. So let's start with investments. What was your best investment?
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is my house, because I love my house. And I think anytime you buy your first piece of land, it's a cool feeling.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, honestly, my best investment was in my mental health, honestly, and my desire for self-improvement. Mm. You know, myself. Mm. My best investment has been in myself.
Beautiful.
And I've definitely put a lot of work into myself. And I've always been willing to pick myself back up and try to figure out what I can learn from a situation. And I attribute all of my success to my willingness to do that.
Beautiful. When was the best time in your life?
The past few years have been pretty great. My late 20s were great. It was a time in your life where you have a little bit more money than you had in college. You have still a good group of friends and you're out with the boys and you kind of have that camaraderie. Mm-hmm. That was always a fun period in my life.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of good periods in my life, but I would say right now is the most fulfilling.
Mm.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I think I feel like I have the most purpose in my life in this time.
Mm. Yeah, I feel that. Best book you ever read?
The Power of Intentions by Dr. Wayne Dwyer.
Okay. Wayne, rest in peace. Yeah, my favorite quote from him is, "When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change."
Mm.
Actually, yeah. Do you have a best quote, your favorite quote?
From him?
Anybody.
One from him is, you know, what other people think of you is none of your business.
Mm.
I always like that one. That
what
served me well.
What people think of you is none of your business. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Beautiful. All right. So one thing I like to ask all the guests is, it's the magic wand question.
Okay.
So if you had a magic wand that you could wave at the earth to change something, and tomorrow when you wake up, whatever your wish was will be granted, what would your magic wand wish be?
I don't know if this is a good one, but it's something I've been thinking about for a while.
Yeah.
I just think we live in a time where we care more about people agreeing with us rather than the type of character people have.
Hmm.
And so I would like to have people, if I can change one thing, to people prioritize their character over simply just someone agreeing with them or being like-minded. And I would like to have the world be a place where people could have healthy disagreements and healthy discussions and prioritize goodness and things like that, rather than protect those who they think are just aligned with their beliefs.
Mm. What a world that would be.
Yeah.
Wow. That would end a lot of conflict.
Yeah. I don't see it happening anytime soon, but be nice.
We are the change we got to see in the world. You know, you're doing great things.
Doing
in the
my
world.
Best. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're living it. You're being it. Your energy here was refreshing. You dropped a lot of wisdom, experiential wisdom, which is different from just the intellectual. So I really appreciate you coming here and sharing your heart.
I appreciate you having me, man.
Where can people keep in touch with you?
You can listen to my podcast, The Vile Files, anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you liked watching podcasts, it's on YouTube. You can follow me on Instagram or TikTok at Nick Vile, or Twitter, Nick Vile. That should about cover it. Or you can check out my book, Don't Text Your Ex Happy Birthday, if you're someone who's out there dating and braving the dating and relationship world. And a lot of what I wrote, again, is just experiential, you know, wisdom, things I got wrong, all the mistakes I've made. That book is really just trying to help you get unstuck with like these little situations, these kind of little things that we think we have to think or feel the pressure of society or family or pressures from ourselves that ultimately I have come to realize aren't that, don't really get us anywhere, but they do get us stuck.
And you're here to get people unstuck. Yeah. I appreciate it. Nick Vile,
appreciate
you, man. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.